Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Y'all all right? I know we had a busy morning this morning. Praise God. Once you turn with me to, does anybody know where we're going? Ephesians? Yeah. That's where we usually end up. Mark chapter 8. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to preach the longest message I ever preached this morning. I said that because usually when a pastor says, I'm going to speak for just a few minutes today, they lie and end up preaching the longest message they ever preached. So I thought maybe reverse psychology, I would say the opposite and it turned out different. Okay. Mark chapter 8. Praise God. We've been talking about this. I don't have any bread to throw today. Oh, man. Somebody asked me, said, boy, you're... Kevin Wright calls me the throwing preacher these days because at the tent revival, I was throwing water. Here, I was throwing bread. He said, what are you going to throw next time? I said, I'm thinking about trying Jell-O. Just because it would be so hilarious. <I don't, laughs> just grab a big wad of it and see who I can splat. Praise God. Amen. I was watching the video Sunday afternoon, and at one point I sailed one, and that camera on the back, it went right. You could see it coming right at the camera, just like that. So I was giving it to people at home. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Then he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, Jesus, in the Amplified Bible, it says he repeatedly said this. He was emphasizing this because when he got in the boat, he was just a little bit torqued at the Pharisees. I guess I can use that word, can I? A little torqued. He was upset because he had just been confronted by a group of people that come to him and said, show us a sign from heaven that you are who you say you are. They wanted him to validate by Father God showing some kind of sign from heaven. You know, a lightning bolt would have done great. Amen. But he said, there's no sign going to be given to you. And the reason he said that is because they wouldn't have believed anyway. When you're talking about the leaven of the Pharisees, when he said, take heed, an amplifier says, look out, keep your guard, and be aware. It means to check and evaluate yourself, listen to the input of the Spirit through trusted people. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. This is something we have to guard ourselves all the time about. And this isn't just talking about being, you know, having some kind of religious do's and don't list. This is talking about attitude. It's talking about character. It's talking about how we conduct ourselves. You know, if the devil can't discourage you, if he can't get you to stop by discouraging you, then he'll start patting you on the back and tell you how great you are. Hey, boy, that went over tough. Amen. Pride is his number one greatest gift. And so if he can't get you discouraged, he will often say if he can't keep you from getting on the horse, he'll give you a boost and make you go right over the top of it. We have to watch ourselves. Many times in a move of God, spiritual pride starts taking over. It's hard to actually fathom that where the awesomeness of God's presence is that we can actually begin to move in a carnal state. And yet that is the battle that takes place in our lives. We have to constantly evaluate, guard, check yourself, and listen to the people around you. Amen. You should never, if somebody... if somebody, you know somebody, and they are not just trying to tear you down, but they come to you with a concern, you should listen. I'm going to go over here. If somebody comes to you with a concern and they are not trying to berate you, you should listen to them. Amen. Now, if somebody comes to you and just with an attitude, just tell them, say, look, go get your attitude straightened up. We'll talk later. Amen. That's what I do. So, it's got to be God. Isn't that the way we think? If I think it, God must be thinking it. Yeah. So we guard ourselves. The leaven of the Pharisees. In Galatians 5, 7 through 9, Paul is again talking about guarding ourselves and guarding ourselves from this type of invasion of carnality. In 5, verse 7 through 9, he said, You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. They in the Bible constantly uses the term leaven because if you're making bread and you put a little bit of yeast in that bread and mix it up, it affects everything. It changes all of the dough. It doesn't just change a piece of it, it changes all of it. And he's telling them a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In this situation, there was a man, and they didn't tell Paul the man's name because he kept saying, whoever he is. They didn't tell him his name, but he kept saying, he told him, he said, whoever this is. Because this guy was trying to get them after the resurrection, and after the church got established for quite a while, then there began to be this mixture of law and grace. And people started trying to bring law back into the church and start trying to convince them that it doesn't matter that you're saved by grace, you still have to practice circumcision if you want to go to heaven. Isn't that amazing? Every time somebody wants to push something new, it's you can't go to heaven without it. Amen. That was actually pretty good. We have been dominated for years by fear and guilt. That's the main message of the church. And the reason for it is we take that, but it's in the Word, but we have overdone it because fear and guilt helps the church control those that are in the church. Amen. If we can make you feel guilty enough, and that only coming to this church can you be relieved of the guilt as we poison you with more guilt, so you have to be relieved of the guilt so that we can poison you with more guilt and you can be relieved of the guilt. And then, amen. That's why people in church many times are so miserable. The Bible says in Romans 14, 17, I preached this last time I was in under medication when coming out of surgery. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. Now, sin has to be confronted. Amen. Whatever sins you tolerate will dominate. Okay? So sin has to be confronted. We've lived in an age, and I battled with it for a while trying to figure out our footing in this country because there was such a strong emphasis on grace that we begin to feel guilty about preaching on sin and we didn't confront sin like we used to. So there had to be some balance come to our presentation. But the push now is not just grace. The push now is absolute tolerance. We cannot tolerate what God does not tolerate. Amen. So we have to take a stand against sin. And we in this country have come to a place where we are locked in a battle against sin, against good and evil. Amen. This coming Tuesday, if you don't vote against this ridiculous, sinful administration that we're under right now, you've got some mental problems that you need to get addressed. There is not anything good you can find about this. Amen. They are pushing, it's a law in Canada right now. They actually passed a law in Canada. They're trying to bring it into the United States where young people can now euthanize themselves if they get to feeling bad. It's a law, and they don't have to inform the parents. It came to light because a family had a 15-year-old son that his girlfriend broke up with him, and he got to feeling bad. He went to one of these clinics, and they euthanized him and then called the parents and said, well, he requested to be euthanized, so he's no longer alive. And the parents knew nothing about it. I don't know how low that goes. Amen. But we do not tolerate Baal or Molech or Ashtaroth. We stand against that. Amen. So we have come to a place where it's no longer just about, you know, what your party stands for or what kind of federal funds you want. Now it's a battle against sin and against righteousness, and it is heating up. Amen. People's always telling me, Pastor, you shouldn't get involved in politics. I am not involved in politics. Politics got involved in what I do, and now I have no choice but to take a stand. If you don't want the church pushing back, leave the church alone. Amen. Because we will push back. Amen. We're nice to a point. Amen. Just thought I'd clear the air, get that out there. You know, I don't want any confusion about how I feel about things. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven of the Pharisees is cynicism. It don't matter what happens, you're cynical about it. You get to the point where God could raise the dead in front of you and you would not believe it. You'd somehow try to make it look like it was some kind of magic trick or something. You just can't believe that something like that could actually happen. What happens is when you get cynical, you get to the point where you judge everything as a human trick of self-indulgence. You just can't believe. You can't believe that anybody's good. You know, sometimes, you know, I keep track of people on Facebook simply because it's a good way to keep track of who's doing what. But every once in a while, well, just about every day, I have to pray, oh, God, help me. God, my thumbs get to, they get to wanting to type. And I have to say, God, help me. Oh, God, help. Oh, delete that. Oh, God, help me. Man, I've just about fired a few of them off, and I thought, no. Okay, I'll delete that. I'll erase that. And then I'll write it again. I'll erase it again. I said, oh, God, help me. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about. And I'm constantly sending these posts about I don't trust anybody. Don't trust anybody. Oh, some of y'all posted that. I can tell just by what I said. I'm going to go back and start searching history now. Cynicism. I don't trust any. I believe that everybody has an evil intent behind everything they do. That's what you say when you don't trust anybody. And then it's actually pride. Backwards pride. I don't know how to say it. But what you're actually saying is nobody can be trusted but me. You see see how it works? Our psychology. We twist things around in our mind. And your brain, the heart is deceitful above any. You can justify anything you're doing with the Bible. I've seen it. Amen. I've had people come to throw me out of the church as pastor and tell me that they were on work, that give me scriptures, they were on God's work. We're here to do God's work. But there's always this thing behind it of control, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Sometimes you just got to outlast that stuff. Amen. Some people ask me, say, how do you do this? I told them, I said, I just didn't die quick enough. I outlived it. Amen. Oh boy, it's tough in here. It's a tough crowd. My goodness. See, the leaven of the Pharisees is full of doubt. We just will not allow God to do anything because it's just not like we want it. It's not doesn't line up with what we think it should line up with. We get so critical of anything that does not fit our preconceived ideas of how it should fit. You know, anybody, we are entering into an amazing move of God in this nation. Aside from all the garbage that's going on, we are starting to see, and there are people rising up that you never thought would rise. But there are some wonderful things that are getting ready to happen. But in the midst of all that, if we're not careful, our critical attitudes will cast it all down and refuse to be a part because we have preconceived ideas of how it needs to happen. It is not going to happen like we think it's going to happen. Nobody knew where Azusa Street was before William Seymour started preaching there and God showed up. Nobody knew who William Seymour was. There isn't anybody in that era would have said this revival is going to be started by a one-eyed black man that spends most of his time with his head in a shoe crate. See his, come on. Woo! We just about left right there. I thought the armies were getting called up. I was ready. Come on now. Woo! I got a rush of adrenaline that won't quit. I'm hot now. Blow it again, Gabriel. That's better than some of the ringtones I've heard. Come on. I hear it. Woo! I'm not sure if that's an accident or if the Holy Spirit's prophesying. Amen. Wow. Man. Come on. Praise God. Now, what was I saying? I got my sword and shield. Thank you, Brother Patrick. I appreciate that. Amen. That was a prophetic declaration right there. Hallelujah. Blow that horn, Gabriel. Wow. God's not going to do it like you think he's going to. Brother Seymour's pulpit was two crates that they shipped shoes in, one stacked on top of the other, open to the back. And most of the services he spent on his knees with his head in that top crate praying while God moved. Nobody would have wrote that. Nobody would have declared that. I mean, you know, that'd be crazy. But it happened. And that's how it came. Hallelujah. If we don't just start looking for the characteristics of God and let God do what he wants to do, we will be the Pharisees on the other side of the street picketing what God's doing. Amen. It's amazing how fast that shift can take place. Amen. Brother Seymour had the revival at Azusa Street started kind of fading off. And then another man came, can't remember his name. He came and started preaching, only he had the original doctrine was a holiness doctrine, and they were extremely strict about everything, about sanctification. Matter of fact, they believed that sanctification was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then when people start speaking in tongues and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit, then they were confused, and many rejected it because it was against what they believed. So they refused it. They locked the church doors, padlocked the church doors, and locked Brother Seymour out because they believed that it was a error in doctrine. Okay? Now, fast forward about 4 years. And Brother Seymour had this man come that had kind of rethought sanctification and wasn't as dominant on that as he was baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he changed the belief about sanctification just a little bit. And Brother Seymour padlocked the church and wouldn't let him preach anymore, even though the same miracles were happening. It was the same revival, same glory of God. And I'm going to be singing soprano in a minute. Same blessing. And yet, Brother Seymour, who was locked out of the church when he first came there, ended up locking out the next guy because it didn't fit what he perceived as right doctrine. Amen. Now, I'm strong on certain beliefs. But a lot of our beliefs is just us. It's called preference. We prefer things. And we have to take our preferences to God. Amen. There's every once in a while somebody gets all over my preferences. And I have to pray through. Amen. Hallelujah. You go over to Rwanda where Brother Damon and Sister Betty just, that was a shock to us because those people dance, those videos, they were pretty calm in those videos. I was thinking, are they backslid? What's wrong with them? Because, I mean, they dance and sing for 3 hours before you get to preach. And then they want you to get involved in it. Amen. They can do that for 3 hours and hardly even break a sweat. Homeboy, do it for 3 minutes, and I'm on the ground trying to get, needing oxygen. Somebody help me. Amen. They've tried to drag me out there, and I've said, nope. Amen. I probably should have, but I didn't. I finally got up and told them, I said, listen, y'all have convinced me of one thing. Big white boys can't dance. So I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to leave that to you guys. Come on. That was their preference. Wasn't my preference. You understand what I'm talking about? Amen. Sometimes here at this church, we get a little wild, and I'm sure it goes against some people's preference. Amen. Just like today, I mean, we stopped singing, and we just rocked out for a while. Amen. Some people would say, that's not of God. I've had people tell me that. Your church, you know, that music, that's just not of God. Well, I don't know. God seems to like it. Amen. I like it. Gotta be God. Isn't that the way we think? See, the leaven of the Pharisees is where we let our preferences become law and our law become separation. And next thing you know, we can't get along because our preferences has become law and we divide and we lock each other out. As if we can lock each other out of heaven. Amen. Boy, I could jump off the deep dive on that one. Amen. It doesn't matter how strong the Spirit of God is moving. You can see miracles. You can have all kinds of amazing stuff happening. I mean, the very presence of God be right here in the church, and you can still have people rebel and cause division. With the presence of God. Why? Because we get so strong about our preferences to the point we start calling each other evil. Bad. When actually all it is a difference of opinion. Amen. So Brother Seymour, who got locked out for preaching the Holy Spirit change in sanctification, locked another preacher out for changing sanctification. You see what happens? Boy's getting tired in here. Amen. I pastored a church one time that went to a lawyer to see if they could chain the doors and not let me preach there anymore. And my only offense was there was too many people getting saved. We were taking over their church. And they was wanting to lock me out because too many people's getting saved and they wanted to vote me out every year. Oh, come on. Some of y'all soft. If somebody just disagrees with you, I ain't going back to that church anymore. I've had them try to vote me out every year. I've had them fire me. I've had them do all kinds of stuff. I've had them take all the money away from me. I've had everything happen, and I still am preaching the gospel, and I'm still here. Are you listening to me? They tried everything they could to try to shut me down simply because every year, so many new people got saved and the church kept growing that they couldn't get me voted out. So they finally had a meeting and cut our income drastically and tried to starve us out. In the middle of a move of God, people being saved, people being healed. We had some of those dramatic healings during that time. People being baptized in the Holy Spirit. The church growing phenomenally, and yet there was carnal attitudes in the midst of it that was trying to stop what God was doing in the name of God. The challenge we have is that if I'm not careful, I will end up acting just like them about something else. I'm not sure that sunk in. The problem is, if I don't guard myself from the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees and Herod, I will end up doing exactly what was done to me to somebody else because I feel strongly about my preference. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I've got a lot of preferences. There's things going on in ministry today that bug me. One thing is pastors wearing skinny jeans. I want to somehow get a hold of them and say, look, you look ridiculous. Get you some jeans and at least you can pull up over your hind end. Amen. But that doesn't mean they're going to hell and not having a move of God. It's just a preference. I read about one worship leader in California that had the certain type of material, and he had his skinny jeans on so tight that he was sweating, and they bonded to him somehow, and they had to call paramedics to help cut those skinny jeans off of him in the church bathroom. Now, many of us old-time Pentecostals would say, bless God, that church is going to hell and the Spirit of God has departed. No, the guy just got trapped in his skinny jeans. And had to have medical help to get out of them. You don't ever have to worry about me doing that. Because it really doesn't have anything to do with the fact that I don't like skinny jeans. If I tried to put something like that on, I would rip them to shreds just trying because I can't stand anything like that. Amen. Something try to hold me down, it's going to die. I battle with claustrophobia. And I'm just going to tell you, if I'm somewhere and my socks get to bother me too bad, I'm ripping them off right there. I don't care. I'm coming out of them. But see, it's my preference. Amen. The fad today is wear jeans like that, but they got to have holes in them. I wore those when I was young, but I earned the holes that were in my jeans. They were not made for me like that. I made them like that. I earned them. Amen. You understand what I'm talking about? If God's going to move in this day and time, we're going to have to get our eyes above the human level and get them on him who sits at the side of God on the right hand and start focusing on what he's doing. Like Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father doing it. And that's how we've got to do, because God's going to march you right into places that's going to burn your preferences plumb up, and he's going to move right in the middle of your preferences being erupted. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I love preaching. When we go down to Houston with Martin and Kim Dale, they have what they call street church. And it's a parking lot they sit up in every Wednesday, and they do what they call street church, and they feed people. People come, the homeless community of Houston comes from all over and fills that whole parking lot up, and it's a tremendous thing. I love preaching there. I love ministering there. I like to get out in the dark. After I get through preaching, we pray for a few people to come forward, and then I turned on everybody else, and I get out in the dark with the people, and I start giving them words of knowledge and words of wisdom and talking to them and watching God break into the hardness of their heart. I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they're wearing. I don't care how they smell. Why? Because there is something greater than what my eyes perceive or my nose smells. There is a power of God that's wanting to penetrate the heart of people that are bound. And if we can just get our eyes focused on that, it's amazing what God will do. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the traits of the leaven of the Pharisees, and I'm closing, which means I'm almost to where I can see the runway to land, but not quite. Just somebody told me that gives people hope when you say that. I'm closing. You understand it's an ongoing term. It's not closed, it's closing. All right, just as long as we got that. One of the leaven of the Pharisees, you know, most preachers preach on this, they'd be mad and angry and be spitting in your face out there talking about that leaven of the Pharisees. I've done it totally different. And I like it because we've got to get off our high horses and just start enjoying Jesus. Amen. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. If I have to have another surgery, I hope I preach a little more of that. Praise God. You can't knock Holy Spirit out. You can't, anesthesia cannot shut him down. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm actually going through my song list and saying, Holy Spirit, how about this one next time? Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Ain't no grave. Can you imagine that in a recovery room? Gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Hallelujah. I wanna sing that one next time. Hallelujah. I hope I scare those nurses and doctors till they shake. You imagine somebody laying there, they pull the tube out. And as soon as they pull the tube out, it ain't no grave. Woo! I like it. Another part of the leaven of the Pharisees is self-seeking. self-seeking agendas. There's a lot of preachers that would preach against the leaven of the Pharisees while being totally saturated with a self-seeking attitude. Ministries, people, the need for significance, the need to be seen, the need to be recognized. Many of us have that. We need to be recognized. We want to be validated somehow. Can you imagine if the Pharisees, if we had the power that Jesus had, walking on this earth, and we do if we could just figure out how to let it happen. If we had that, and some people come up to us and said, we don't believe you're real, show us a sign. The need for significance in most of us would make us try to produce a sign to validate ourselves and show them that we're real. Amen. Jesus, with all the power of heaven, turned around and walked off and said, you ain't getting a sign. Woo! Yeah. Self-seeking can filter into our lives in so many ways that we have to, and that's why Jesus kept saying, take heed. Take heed. Guard yourself. Amen. It's so important to be surrounded by people that love you and that feel comfortable in speaking into your life. Now, you got to understand, if you're going to speak into somebody's life, you need to have a relational authority. If you're going to advise somebody, it's good to have relational authority to where they are willing to receive your advice. If not, it just sounds like criticism. Amen. Thank God. But if you have taken the time to develop relational authority, that person, in other words, you have related with them long enough that they trust your motives, then you can share into those people's lives and they will receive it even if it irritates them. Why? Because they trust you and they trust your motives. Now, there have been times that I've had to confront people that I didn't have relational authority with. But in those situations, I was not looking for a relationship or a friendship. I was looking to stop what was happening. Amen. Don't go there unless you know that God's not going to let you out of it. Because I've had to do that. And it is not fun. It is not fun. It's something that you will deal with guilt. It'll eat at you. Because it's not something that you should ever want to do. But most of the time, God speaks to people that has relational authority in your life, and they can share something with you to help guard you. If they come to you, if somebody has relational authority in your life, they come to you and say, you know, that was a little arrogant, what you said. Now, if that was somebody you had contempt for, immediately you would be angry. But if that's somebody that you trust their motives because you've been in a relationship with, you might not like it. But you would have to evaluate yourself because you know that they're not there to hurt you. Amen. Praise God. Wow, got heavy in here all of a sudden. Praise God. There's a difference between criticism and sharing something with somebody because you love them and you don't want to see them hurt. Amen. There's been times I've gotten in between relationships that I saw head in a certain direction, but it's because I love the people. Amen. There was a pastor one time that I saw some things, his relationship with another lady that wasn't his wife. It seemed like just, you know, he was helping and he was ministering, but I saw some things that was warning signs, and I saw which direction this thing was going, and I saw that there was starting to be intent there that shouldn't be there. And I walked into his office one day and I looked him in the eye. I said, "No." He said, "What?" I said, "You know exactly what I'm talking about. No." I said, "Back off, get out of it now." Amen. You know what happened? He loved me and respected me. He backed off and got out of it. Saved his life, saved his relationship. Now, I couldn't have said that to him if I didn't have a good, close relationship with him. But he knew that I wasn't there to hurt him. I was there to save him. Amen. Man, I'm playing with dynamite. I'm trying to navigate this and get this through our heads. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're in a carnal mind today, you're going to hear, you got to go tell people no. That ain't what I said. Hallelujah. God is so, stand with me if you would. Amen. See, I didn't preach very long. I think it's only 11 o'clock. Is that right? Yeah? See, time changed last night, but our bodies hadn't changed, so I got you. Ah. Amen. You're still on the same time. We have to guard ourselves because, and the reason I'm preaching on this is because God is moving. God is beginning to activate us. He's beginning to activate anointings. He's beginning to activate us in ways that we don't quite understand yet. Hallelujah. And we need to keep good, close relationships to make sure that the leaven of the Pharisees doesn't start infiltrating the whole lump. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.